Okay, reading from Psalm 94. The Lord is a God who avenges. O God who avenges, shine forth. Rise up, judge of the earth. Pay back to the proud what they deserve. How long, Lord, will the wicked, how long will the wicked be jubilant? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. They crush your people, Lord. They oppress your inheritance. They slay the widow and the foreigner. They murder the fatherless. They say, the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob takes no notice. Take notice, you senseless ones among the people. You fools, when will you become wise? Does he who fashioned the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nations not punish? Does he who teaches mankind lack knowledge? The Lord knows all human plans. He knows that they are futile. Blessed is the one you discipline, Lord, the one you teach from your law. You grant them relief from the days of trouble, till a pit is dug for the wicked. The Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Judgment will again be founded on righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers? Unless the Lord has given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Can a corrupt throne be allied with you, a throne that brings on misery by its decrees? The wicked band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So my name is Patrick. And allow me to add my welcome to Nick's welcome. As I say, my name is Patrick. I'm one of the leaders here at Silver Street Community Church. If it's your first time, you're very welcome. Special welcome to Richard's family. Most of us will know who Richard is. Richard passed away about a year and a week today, you said, didn't you? These are Richard's siblings. Richard is the man that used to come with Vanessa, if you remember Vanessa. This is years back. And it's really good to see you guys here, and you're very welcome. I extend the welcome to everyone else here this morning. It would be great if you can have Psalm 94 open with you, so that then we can see what the Lord is teaching us from Psalm 94. I'm also glad that Nick mentioned about the kids taking notes. I'm hoping that there will be enough notes for you to pick up from the PowerPoint already up there. So, how are you all doing? All right? Very good, very good. I'm well too, thank you for asking. As we open up God's word, let's ask him for help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please give us hearts to know that you are Lord. May we turn to you with all our hearts, with the help of your Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of the Lord, our righteous Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So Psalm 94. Psalm 94 is a psalm that we're not clear who wrote it, but it's a psalm that was written in special circumstances. We don't know who wrote it, but they were the verses of Psalm 94 were written in turbulent times. Young people are looking at me strangely. Turbulent just means unsteady movement, unsteady kind of like situations that you find yourself. A bit like you know, when you go on the plane and you go through turbulence, the plane shakes and you can feel it. Last week, my family and I were in turbulence. Apparently, we were just going over Germany. The winds there were going all over the place. It was really shaking. You could hear the cases moving up on the top of the cabin. It was EasyJet. So anyway, so it was really shaking. I was holding on. I don't know about my family, but I was holding on. Another picture perhaps that you might relate to is a bit like, you know, when you're driving in a car and your seatbelt doesn't seem to be enough to protect you from the potholes. You go that way, you still feel them. In Zambia, where I'm from, and I think Roger's just returned from Zambia, so this will be very fresh for him in his mind. In Zambia, where I'm from, there are very, very good bumpy potholed roads. You cannot miss them. Caleb, show us some of the pictures. You might be able to relate to it. So, yes, especially when it rains, sometimes you can't see them. Can anyone relate to me with going through potholes? Ah, where have you seen potholes? Jamaica, okay. Are we talking about similar sort of thing to that?
London.
Oh, and it's London. Ah, okay, very good. Okay, Caleb, show us the next picture. Ah, now that's a typical kind of like Zambian off-road. They're not all roads like that, but some roads are like that. Do you see, when you drive through that, you almost want to go over the grass, and driving through that, we will need more than your seatbelt, isn't it? It's when you like hold on like that, or you hold on to something else, because that's not quite enough. So with that in mind, this psalm that we're looking at was written in that sort of times, bumpy and turbulent. The times and circumstances were not making sense to the writer of Psalm 94. These were painful times, times of oppression, times when the wicked were getting away with things. The wicked were well at it. The situation was stressful, making it really difficult for the psalmist to rest. The writer was feeling it. I say that because if you look down to verse 18, it says, his foot was like slipping. The anxiety was great. We see that in verse 19. And it looks like in verse 3, the situation had been going on for a long time. Now, often when you're in the middle of pain or when you're going through it, it feels like it's just never going to end. The pain and the misery feel endless, doesn't it? Like it will never stop. The issues keep coming relentless. At church family, some of us this morning might be right in the middle of that turbulence and misery, creating anxiety, pressure, stress and anger. The situation we're in is difficult to understand. We cannot make sense of all the things that are going on. We are feeling it, and no one understands but yourself. We too are asking the question, how long, Lord, how long? Where are you holding on, church family? Are you just holding on to other things? Where are you looking? What is happening in your turbulence? And so, with that picture that we see from the psalmists, let's turn our minds to what the psalmist does first. Caleb, what does he do? In his misery, he looks to the Lord in prayer. Look with me at verse 1 and 2. The Lord is a God who avenges, meaning payback. That's your first note, those taking notes, the young people. Ah, very, very good, Kawiya, very good. The Lord, he looks to the Lord in prayer. The Lord is the God who avenges, meaning payback. Oh God who avenges, shine, rise up, judge the earth, payback. The psalmist is doing what? He's looking to the Lord to act, to rise up and to judge. He also lays out his pain of waiting, as we see in verse 3. You see that in verse 3? How long, Lord? How long? What is it, actually, that the wicked are doing? What is it that makes him feel this way? What's bringing this misery and turbulence, church family? So the psalmist, in prayer, pours out what the wicked are doing. Glance with me from verse 4 to 7. The arrogant are pouring out arrogant words. They are full of boasting. They crush people. They oppress God's inheritance. As if that's not enough, they slay the wicked and the foreigner. They kill the fatherless. They're going for everyone, including the vulnerable. Can you imagine living in that sort of community? These wicked people are very sure of themselves. Read with me, verse 7. They say the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob takes no notice. Yet in their arrogance, they say, God does not see what we're doing. He has no idea. Friends, these wicked people, their thinking has gone wrong. It's a bit like, I don't know if you've ever done, a bit like a child. You're playing a game with a child and they cover their eyes, they think you've disappeared. Just because they can't see you, they think you're no longer there. In their head, if I do this, I can't see any of you. In their head, you're not there. Because they can't see you, they think you're not there. That is senseless, isn't it? You were there. That is foolish. These wicked people were like that. They need, if you look down to verse 8, they need to take notice and become wise, as laid out there in verse 8. They have such a deprived mind that they have stopped fearing God. Instead, they show contempt. The wicked know that the Lord exists. They know of him. If you look down to verse 7, they say, the Lord does not see. The God of Jacob takes no notice. You see that in verse 7? They are talking about the God who gives life, the God who gives breath to everything, including us here today, the everlasting God. Church family, to be able to adequately assess God's sense of knowing and seeing everything, they, or you and I, need to be on God's level at least a bit closer than what we've ever been. I'll say that again. For us to be able to adequately assess God's sense of knowing and seeing everything, we need to be on his level, or at least significantly closer to his level than we really are. Does that make sense? God is uncreated. We are created. I am sinful. We are sinful. God is unsinful. He is righteousness. He is good all the time, and we're not good all the time. I am the clay. He's there. Oh, come on, church family. Help me out. I am the clay, and he's there. In his hands, his life, in his hands is life for everything. He is above all things. All things are through him and for him. In all things, and all things were created by him, and all things hold together by him. Isn't that amazing? God did not create us because he needs us, all these wicked people. Or that he was bored. I need to create someone to entertain me. No, he created us for his glory. You see that in Isaiah 43 if you want to look that up. And so it's utterly ridiculous. It's crazy to think that God can't see or takes no notice. So the psalmist declares his circumstances to God in prayer, trusting God to judge. And he does that by looking to God in prayer. Then, Caleb, he declares God as the creator and all-knowing. So he declares God as the creator and the God who knows everything. And we see that from verse 8 to 11. The wicked need to know this as a priority. If the created have some faculties, do you think that the creator is lacking? If God, who made things, who made your ears, your eyes, I'm glad you're looking at me quite nicely, and your brain, if God created your brain, do you reckon God is lacking in brains? Do you reckon God is lacking in wisdom? It's ridiculous, even me asking the question, isn't it? It must have been tempting. Remember, we're listening in a prayer, by the way, the prayer of the psalmist. It must have been tempting to react and do something to the evildoers, the arrogant, the boastful. You big heads, a day is coming when God will sort you out. Yes, let's report this to the authority, to the authorities. They'll sort it out. You think you're better than us? We know a God that can sort you out today. We don't know what you're doing to the fatherless, the widows, the foreigners. You wait and see. We've got a plan. In the middle of turbulence, the psalmist says none of that. Instead, he shows that he is trusting in God in prayer as he prays. As the God who is the creator and knows all human plans. Trusting God as the one who will judge, avenge, shine, and pay back. Look with me at verse 1. The Lord is the God who avenges, the judge of the earth. Oh, church family, does that remind you of someone? Does that remind you of our righteous Savior, the Lord Jesus, on the cross? In a terrible crisis, what did the Lord Jesus do? He looked to God the Father in prayer. Your will be done, he said. The day he was crucified, and the night before he was crucified, the arrogant, the boastful leaders, the soldiers, the crowd held insults at him. They spat on him. They mocked him. They played games, pulled his beard. Come on, tell us, who did that, they said. He did not wait for them to repent. He looked to the God the Father who judges justly. He made no threats. You don't hear him say, I am the Son of God. You are treating me unfairly. Wait and see what I'll do to you. You don't hear him say any of that. Instead, he submits himself to the plan. To the plan that was in place, even the whole world, before the whole world was created. The plan of stepping into the position of the wicked. If you want to read any further about that, read Matthew 26. Now, that is the way of the Lord, isn't it? So, the psalmist looks to God in prayer as judge. He declares God as creator and all-knowing. Please read with me verse 11. The Lord knows all human plans. He knows they're futile. Yes, he may be going through a tough time, but God knows all plans. That must have brought some sort of assurance, surely, to the psalmist. Those struggles must have felt a bit more bearable. With God, nothing happens by accident. Everything, literally everything, happens according to his purpose. It might be difficult to understand or accept, but there is nothing that happens in the whole world that God has lost control over. He works in every circumstance for his glory, and that includes the pain and the plans of the wicked. Again, we see that on the cross, where God's amazing plan is fulfilled in Jesus. A painful, dark day. That was the worst day ever. But even in that worst day, God was working out his plans. Isn't that wonderful, church family? Yes. Thank you, Gareth. Verse 12. The psalmist is open to the possibility that what was happening could be a direct discipline from the Lord in light of his word. But he is in a blessed place. Did you notice verse 13 to 15? It is the Lord who grants relief from days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. He reminds himself that the Lord will reject his people, but never will he forget. He will never reject his people, and he will never forsake his inheritance. It is the Lord who grants relief from days of trouble. Church family, you may be going through misery and turbulence by the hand of the wicked, and this has come in various ways. It could be terrible family situations, issues with teenagers, I can relate to that. Your husband, your wife is so unreasonable. Your work, your boss, just doesn't understand. He is causing you misery and stress, or she. Oh, maybe it's one of those church leaders at Silver Street. Church family, it is the Lord who grants relief from trouble and help. Unless the Lord had given me help, I would have soon dwelt in the silence of death. Your peace and assurance is that he will never reject you or forsake you. I don't know the reasons for your situation, but your current circumstances are not where you should weigh up how much God loves you. I'll say that again. I haven't got a clue what your situation or your stress is, but your current situation is not where you should be weighing up how much God loves you. His love for you has clearly been laid out, clearly been revealed at the cross of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. God's judgment on sinners has been laid on Jesus. All who trust in him are declared as not guilty as planned before the creation of the world. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, Gareth, you let me down. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Now, that is great love. That goes beyond our current circumstances, isn't it? So, the psalmist looks to God in prayer as judge, declares God as creator and all-knowing, and finally, he declares God as creator. I can't see what's there. I'm just going to say, he declares God as the only God who can do certain things. So he declares what God can do. Look with me from verse 16 to 18. Who will rise up against the wicked? Who will take a stand against the evildoers? No man can do it. Unless the Lord had given me help, I would have soon dwelt in the silence of death. Does not make you think of the cross, church family. This could only have been done by God himself. When I said my foot was slipping, your unfailing love supported me. When anxiety was great, your consolation brought me joy. It is only the Lord who can act in this way. Otherwise, it would have all ended in misery. It reminded me of the song, which you might know, which you should know. My Savior went up courageously, and there he and died for me. Hallelujah! For the cross. Only God could do it. There's no one else that could do it. God himself came in Jesus and died for us on the cross. Verse 22-21. Can a corrupt throne be allied with you? The wicked band together with the righteous, with the righteous, and condemn the innocent to death? No, that's not possible. The Lord has become my fortress, the psalmist says, my rock, my refuge. The psalmist finishes where he started. The Lord will repay them for my sins. He will destroy them. As I said before, I don't know what sort of turbulence and misery you're going through, and I'm not minimizing it. I am sure the situation is stressful and painful. I'm sure it's causing you a lot of anxiety and worry. I'm not in a position to fully understand and know how you feel. But the Lord knows. He knows all the details of all your circumstances. I do know that it is not for you or for me to be judged. Judgment belongs to the Lord. I urge you to take it to the Lord in prayer, to trust our Lord to avenge. Like the old hymn says, I don't think we've ever sang this here at Silver Street. It goes like this. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows every weakness. Take it to the Lord in. The Lord knows all human plans. The judgment seat belongs to him alone. So, church family, how do we apply this? So what? What does that mean to you and me today? Caleb, may I urge you to look to the Lord as look to the Lord in prayer as judge. And then may I also urge you to declare God as the creator and all-knowing. Caleb, that's the next one. And then declare what only God can do as you pray. I realized this morning, church family, that it is impossible for some of us to pray because we do not have that relationship with God through Jesus. I invite you this morning to believe Jesus, who paid for your sins, and trust in him for eternal life. Only God can do that. And he has done it all. If you're relying on anything else, if you think there's any other way apart from Jesus, I am sad, and I'm here to tell you this morning that that only leads you to hell. On the cross, Jesus took away all our sins on himself. He died so that then we may know eternal life. Refusal to believe and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior means that God's judgment is still on you. It will never be removed. It will stay on you. He will destroy all who deny him as Lord and King. And that includes you today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Jesus is knocking on your door. Jesus is inviting you today to turn to him. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Today you'll be part of your family, such that if you die today, do you know where you're going? Straight to heaven. Because God's judgment is gone on Jesus. Do you know that plan was before God created the world. God already planned for that to happen. But if you refuse, oh my friend, oh, what a disaster. A place where God is not is a terrible place. Where there's no God's presence, it is miserable. More than that turbulence we looked at. Where God's presence isn't at is hell. But today is a day of salvation. Can I invite you, please? I beg of you, do not put it off. I wasn't meaning to tell you this, but the last 3 months, oh, death has been in our faces. But I praise God that the people that have died, I am confident today that they are with Jesus today. Not because of anything they did, but because they trusted God to pay for their sins in Jesus when he died for them. So I rejoice. My friends have died. But I rejoice that they're in heaven. I would like that to be for you today. So please do not harden your heart today if you hear God calling you. Give your life to Jesus. Otherwise, God's judgment is coming on you like those wicked people that we read on. Have you got your notes, Kawiya? Very good. I've got my notes here too. So, to finish, read with me verse 22. We'll read it together. But the Lord has become my fortress, and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. Isn't that wonderful? What has God become? His refuge. Is that the way he started at the beginning of this psalm? No, what did he start? Avenged, didn't he? He started from verse 1. Lord, the God who avenges, judge, and the rest of it. But he finishes off with confidence in God, his rock. And may I pray that that's where you find your safety in our God, who is the rock. The God whose plans for you are always good because of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.